Well, good morning. It's good to be here again with you all. Good to be in the house of God. It's another beautiful day the Lord has given to us. He's seen fit to give us a new day, a new month, health and strength to be here again today. Let's be mindful of the privilege that is. Very much enjoyed the service. Our time of sharing in Sunday school and the service thus far. Very fitting thoughts. Jacob, thank you for those devotional thoughts of how great God is and how small we are. And so many considerations of that. All powerful, all knowing, everywhere that God we serve. And it should draw us to awe as we think about coming before a holy God. Such a great and mighty being like that, and entering into worship. I agree with you, Marlon, as well. I enjoy the book of Acts and the studies there and what we learn practical things in the early church, and very much enjoyed that time of discussion. I would like to pick up this morning again on some of our Sermon on the Mount considerations after a bit of time, I believe. Maybe you thought we were finished with those, I'm not sure. But I think there is a lot we did not cover, probably a lot we will not cover. But I do plan to look at another consideration there in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. So you can turn there. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 this morning. A couple of verses, not even a handful of verses in Matthew 6 for a consideration this morning. We have spent most of our time, the Sermon on the Mount talks or messages from I believe all from Matthew 5 on the Beatitudes and, Jesus' new kingdom teachings. Maybe changing or reinforcing the old commandments. We have those sections in there where he says, "Ye have heard this, the old law was this, but I say unto you," and he gives a new consideration or a new commandment, a new teaching. And so we went over some of those and also looked at some of the teachings there on us as Christians as salt of the earth and as the light of the earth. Matthew 6, I'd like to look at the first four verses this morning. The heading at the top of this chapter in my Bible says, Teachings on Giving. So that's the subject I'd like to look at this morning. I'd like to look at these verses, what Jesus teaches, what we see here on that subject, and also look at some other scriptures as well. For a title this morning, I've chosen simply, Principles for Christian Giving. And I don't consider that by any means we will say, give all the principles there are, or say it all, but I would like to pick out a few here this morning. Matthew 6, verse 1, let's just read these verses here. Verse 1 to 4, Jesus speaking here, Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Okay, principles for Christian giving. You know, that title implies that not all giving is necessarily of a godly or of a Christian sort. You know, people give for many different causes, right? Maybe it's for the environment, or give for those in poverty, those in need. Maybe they're funding for a cure for cancer or treatment for cancer. Maybe it's for politics, or, you know, there's many different causes people give to. There's many foundations or organizations, you know, maybe that are run either mostly or altogether on donations. Maybe think of institutions like St. Jude's Hospital and some of those things. I think they're mostly run by donations. And I'm told that in 2025, Americans gave a total of 557 billion dollars to charitable causes. Of course, that's just what I found online. Can't confirm those numbers, of course. That's what they tell me. That's a lot of money that Americans give to some kind of a cause or another. And I'm not sure what all is included in that, if that is political in there or not. I'm not sure if that's considered charity or not. But that's a part of, if you think of political, especially leading up to an election or something like that, there's millions or billions of dollars that are spent on, you know, maybe a certain president or a certain candidate or party. So people are motivated to give for various reasons. And I believe many, many reasons are noble and right. Perhaps there's many that are for selfish reasons. Maybe some are simply just for the tax benefits that there are. I'm not sure. But this morning, is giving a part of your Christian life? Do you consider it an important part of your Christian life? A necessary part? And I believe as a follower of Jesus, I believe I should consider that an important part of my life. And of course, giving, we're thinking of giving, that includes more than just money, right? There's time and resources and experience and other things that we can give, not just money. But I believe in the context here, that of giving alms that Jesus is speaking of, I believe he's talking mainly of money, and so that's probably mostly going to be how we think about it this morning, how I share it this morning. Very simple outline this morning. I'd like to just use the word giving for an acrostic here this morning, let's try another one here. Maybe use some words and phrases to find, to give us some principles that we find here on giving. And we'll pull out one or two in this passage and some other verses that we will find as well. Maybe have a subpoint or two under each. I've picked out two from this passage here, especially two. And I have a couple other verses that I would like. Maybe I'll just have your help in reading some of these other verses this morning. I'd like to. Well, I think it's five verses here. I'll just hand out. Maybe you could have some volunteers to read some of these as I call for them. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Who wants to read that?
9, 6 and 7.
Thank you, Jerry. Proverbs 22, 9. Nevin, thanks. Proverbs 19, 17. Mike, thank you. Luke 11, 41. Ed, thank you. In 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Mike Whitmer, thank you. Okay. I said I see at least two of principles that we want to look at here in these verses. Probably the one I will bring out a little later, come back to this after some of these other verses. But one I see here in verse 4, I simply have in secret. Our giving is to be in secret, he says. Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, one of the key things that Jesus seems to be addressing in these verses, and also if you read on further in the next section of verses, maybe half of the chapter, was the hypocrisy that he was addressing. And he addresses it in this section, well, on the verses we're looking at in giving, and he also addresses it in their prayer and in their fasting. And it's interesting, each time he says, you know, don't do like the hypocrites do. They do it like this. He says, don't do like the hypocrites and sound a trumpet before you when you're giving your alms. And we don't know exactly who he was talking about. We can take from some other verses that the scribes and Pharisees were called hypocrites many times. And maybe you could say we can assume that that is the group this was directed to. But he just calls them hypocrites here. That was the people that were doing it this way were hypocrites. You know, they were doing good deeds. In this case, they were giving alms, giving to the poor. But it wasn't for real. It wasn't because they were actually concerned about the poor. They were doing it because they liked the attention. They liked the good public image, you know, that they got from this. Now, some commentators think this thing of sounding a trumpet before you that Jesus talks of, some think it was simply a figure of speech, you know, of making, you know, to get the point across, of making a big show to get attention. Some, however, think it was possibly actually done, perhaps blowing a trumpet for, you know, the supposed purpose of letting the poor know that, you know, here's funds available for their needs and so on. So I'm not sure if we can know that for sure, whether that is simply a figure of speech or whether it actually happened. But whatever the case, you know, it was some kind of show that to let people know, you know, here I am. I just gave this. I just gave all this money to the poor, and look at me. And Jesus said it was hypocrisy. And he starts right out here in this section by saying, take heed. Beware. Take warning. Beware of this tendency to want recognition. And he addresses it in all those different areas of prayer and fasting as well as giving. And so this morning, I believe that admonition is for all of us. We need to take heed. You know, we all have that within us that we want the approval of other people in some way or another, right? He says, don't sound a trumpet. Don't do your giving to be seen of men like they do. But when you do your alms, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What does that mean? I'm not sure. We could probably spend some time on that. But I believe it's a figure of speech, a word picture, perhaps. You know, it has to be a figure of speech because, you know, our hand is not, doesn't have its own mind. A hand can't think by itself. It can't, they're both controlled by your brain and aren't independent beings. But I believe Jesus uses that expression to make a point of doing, and maybe if you have some better, I probably don't explain it very well, but doing just whatever to keep your giving, could we say, inconspicuous. Keep it from being an outward show. You know, you can't let one hand, you can't really hide from one hand what the other is doing. I mean, maybe you see this as reaching into the money bag and just grabbing a handful of whatever comes out. I'm not sure. I don't see it that way. That your alms may be in secret. Others don't know you're giving. There's not the outward show. And so, this morning, what motivates my giving? What should motivate my giving as a Christian? You know, is it not the fact that I want to share what God has blessed me with? That I'm thankful for salvation, what Jesus has done for me? And I want to share that with others. I want others to experience that as well. And then I want to share my physical blessings that God has blessed me with. I want to help someone else in need. I care about those people. I care about them, and I care about whatever need they have, whether it's food or clothing or shelter or money or Jesus or all of the above. I care about that need. And that should be, as a Christian, my care for other people. And what God has done for me. That should be what motivates my giving. And you know, that desire to be recognized in giving is such a lame and it's such a poor motivation for giving. And it better not be our motivation. As a Christian, do our alms, do our giving in secret. And I very much appreciate our endeavors to keep our church free will offerings that way. You know, there's many public places I believe you can go and give today, and you'll get a recognition for it. You'll get public recognition for it. Maybe you'll get on the news, published, wherever. And I'm not saying all those, I'm not here to judge those endeavors and say that they're all wrong, but I believe we should seek to do our giving in this way, as Jesus directed, as being in secret and not a public show. All right, let's have, for the second one, let's read 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7.
"For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver."
All right. For that one I put, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. Hopefully you can read that a ways back anyway. Not grudgingly, but cheerfully. It's a principle that should govern our giving as a Christian. We should give cheerfully. Not grudgingly. God loveth a cheerful giver. Should give cheerfully. I really like that verse. You know, it should just warm my heart to cheerful giving all the time, shouldn't it? Because God loves it. And God loves you as a cheerful giver. He does. He loves it. And you know, what more could you want, what more could I want as a follower of Jesus? That God loves you. God loves what you are doing. You know, talking about wanting approval, that should be the approval that we want, that we all would want and desire to have as a Christian. But you know, somehow it seems like it's just pretty easy to be like that, to be rather like the man I read about in an article on giving. It was an article I came across a while back. It went like this. It said, a man complained to his pastor, it's just getting to be one continuous give, give, give. And the pastor replied, you have just given one of the best descriptions of Christianity that I've ever heard. And so we can, you know, if you're like me, you can get to feeling that way sometimes, right? You know that, well, that relative needs my, they're in financial straits. They need my help. Cam, they're always looking for my money. My local church brotherhood, I need to give there. My conference brotherhood, my school, my family. Oh, the USA, they want some tax money. And, oh, am I, after all of that, am I even actually going to be able to meet my own business obligations, you know? And it feels like one, oh, there's just drains everywhere. But you know, in it all, can I remember to give, like that verse says, not grudgingly, or of necessity, because I need to. Is that why I give? Or, you know, what will other people think if I don't give? But I give cheerfully. God loveth a cheerful giver. And you know, just maybe if I'm feeling begrudged to give when I can and where I can, just maybe I'm forgetting, you know, whose blessings those are that I have, that I'm even entrusted to and that I can give. Maybe I'm forgetting whose those really are. You know, God has given them to me and I'm just a steward. Maybe I'm losing sight of that fact when I have some of those begrudging and complaining thoughts. All right. Let's have Proverbs 22, verse 9. Thank you. Bountiful eye. I believe that speaks of generosity. That's what I have for the third point here. Let's also have Proverbs 19:17. Okay, I put for that one generously. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That which he hath given will he pay him again. Another translation says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. It's a very interesting verse. Think of lending. Lendeth to the Lord. Lending to the Lord. That's a really incredible statement. We can lend something to God. Like God needs something from us. He made it all. We heard about this morning. Made everything. He can make something just by speaking. Like God's going to need us to lend him something. And of course, we'd say we'd be glad to lend whatever we have to the Lord, right? We would be happy to do that. But it says that's what we're doing when we're generous to the poor. And it says God will repay that. God will repay that generosity. And I believe we can be assured that that's not just apples for apples kind of repayment. Any repayment, when God says he will repay, It's more than we can imagine and comprehend, I believe. Okay, I was intrigued by that verse. Okay, along with these verses, the verse Jerry read from 2 Corinthians 9, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I see generosity brought out there in that verse as well. And what's the picture in that verse is, you know, it's a picture of a farmer sowing seed, right? And he might say, and that farmer might say, you know what, seed is so expensive in 2025. You know what, we're gonna let's skimp a little bit. We'll maybe their spreading, you know, rate is a little too much. We're going to skim. We'll do half the population per acre, you know, that they recommend. not playing quite that heavy. And so sparingly, and he says it's going to be, maybe it won't grow anyway because it's so wet. You know, we don't want to waste it all. And I've been in some fields like that, that, you know, you look and you're like, wow. You know, they should have really broadcasted this stuff on here and it would have got a nice stand. Or I've been in some fields where you can see the passes where they spread fertilizer and, oh, it was yellow in between. They didn't cover it enough or spread enough. But of course, I wasn't paying for either the seed or the fertilizer, so I didn't, who am I to judge? But that's the picture we get here that he gives in describing our giving. We sow sparingly, we give sparingly, and we'll reap that way. We'll reap sparingly. And the other way around, when we sow bountifully, that's what we'll reap as well. That's a challenging thought to be. I'm not sure how all we could apply that. But, you know, I had to think, you know, is my giving or lack of it holding back what could be a bountiful harvest? That's a challenging thought to me. Generosity should be what describes our giving, should describe the Christian giving. Now, I don't have the reference for this written down, but... is that in Corinthians as well? I'm not sure. Charge them that are rich in this world, and maybe it's not, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, God's a generous giver. It says God gives richly. He gives us richly all things to enjoy, and we could be here a long time listing those things, whether spiritual things that we've been given, or physical. As Americans today, we've been given a lot. That's how God has given to us. He's given generously. And I believe it behooves us to follow example and be the same in our giving, to be generous givers. And I believe generous giving is also sacrificial giving. I'm not going to spend much time talking about that. I probably should. That's a point we need. But I believe truly generous giving will also be sacrificial giving as well. Now maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, all this talk, Mr. Preacher, about a lot of giving and generous giving, and it sounds really good. And I would like to give a lot. I would like to give a lot of dollars for God's work. I just don't. It's not there. I don't have a lot of dollars to start with. Brings me to my next point. Luke 11:41. Can we have that? Put for that one, in proportion to what I have. Might be running out of space here. There's maybe different ways to word that, or maybe different ways I should have worded that. Maybe it should be in proportion to what God has given me, or something like that would be better wording. Give alms as such things as ye have. Or one source had in parentheses, or as you are able. Okay? That is how we're to give. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Did I hand that verse out? Go ahead. Okay, there we have it again. Give as God hath prospered him. Okay? Which makes that point in proportion to what I have. That's how I am to give. The principle is giving as I am able, as God has prospered, whether that's just a little bit or whether that's in much. And many of us have to admit that God has given us more than just a little bit. I believe we do. And I believe it's a beautiful thing when Christians do this. When they give sacrificially as according as God has prospered them. I think this verse says. And I believe that God does not see the dollar signs, the dollar amounts, like we do. And a brother that has more gives as God's blessed him, and a brother that has less gives as he has in the same way as God has prospered him. And I believe the needs are met as God intended. I don't believe God sees those dollar amounts like we do. And we could turn to that story about the widow that Jesus observed throwing in those 2 mites. Was it all of her living? I believe she gave it all. It was just a little bit. I don't know. It probably was nothing in comparison to what was in that chest and what the others were throwing in. But Jesus said she gave more than them all. And so, give as God has prospered you. And I believe that's a principle that God established or gave as an example. It's interesting if you look back, we won't turn there, to Exodus 16. We have the children of Israel gathering manna there. And it says, some gathered more and some less. And it says they, at the end of the day, they meted all this out according to the number of persons, how many were in your family, and so on. And the ones that were really ambitious, you know, and gathered a lot, it says they had nothing over, and the ones that just gathered a little bit had no lack. And so all the needs were met. And so I believe it was a principle that was there that we can learn from, that God has for us to learn from, and that's relevant in our New Testament church era of giving. And in fact, we find in 2 Corinthians 8, I believe it is, that Paul actually refers back. He's commending the one church for their giving and their sharing and talking about that. And he refers to that, those verses back in Exodus of, all the needs being met when everyone gives as the Lord has prospered. And so I believe that's a principle that should be in our giving. Okay, I think we just read 1 Corinthians 16, 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. But I have, put for this one, give systematically. Hopefully I'm getting all my spelling right here, but upon the first day of the week, Paul told them, lay by, everyone buy him in store. So the Corinthian church was to do this offering on the first day of the week. It was a systematic thing, I believe, a regular thing. And so I believe it's the way we do it, I believe, is a biblical way to do it. And I believe there's more than one way that could work. But whatever the case, I believe a regular giving is taught. Systematic giving. I believe that's an important part of giving. And many of us can attest that if your giving is just a random thing, you just give whenever you happen to remember, probably half the time. Or maybe more often. It won't happen. You won't remember. It just won't happen. And young folks, if you have income, I challenge you to start yourself in a systematic habit of giving. It's a habit that will be a blessing to you. You know, I've been there not too long ago. as a young fellow, and you tell yourself, well, I'm just getting started in life. I don't have that much. Let's wait a little bit till I get a little more financially established here, or get the car paid off, or something like that. There's lots of reasons that you can come up with in your mind as it's not a very good time, and to tell yourself you don't have to give. Do yourself a favor and start giving, a habit of giving, in spite of any of those reasons or excuses or whatever you want to call those. Because trust me, those excuses or reasons never go away. In fact, it seems like they only become more as you go through life. And if your giving is simply, let's see if there's anything left over after I get everything else paid for at the end of the month. We'll see if there's a few crumbs left over. Trust me, there's just never seems to be all that much left over. It finds some other places to go. Give systematically. Make it a regular part of your life. And sometimes, if you're like me, you need a wife to help you remember too, like I did this morning of all days. When I'm talking about giving, my wife had to remind me about the offering. All right. For the last one here, you can turn back to Matthew 6 if you're not there. Perhaps some of you are wondering what I'm going to put for the V. I have simply chosen to put vindicated by God. Okay. Jesus says there's a reward for your giving. There's a reward for that these hypocrites have, he says. There is. They have the reward. He says they have the glory of man. People take note and say, ah, wow, you see how much Mr. Jones gave? He gave all that pile of money. He's a really nice fella. It's impressive. And there's that recognition. It's a reward. And then there's the reward for those that nobody knows. Nobody sees that what they gave, whether it was the last little bit they had, whatever they could give, they don't have that recognition of other people. God alone sees that. And God is the one that gives the reward, he says. He says, you give in secret, your Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And Jesus just says it pretty straightforward here. He says, if you're doing your alms to be seen of men, you have no reward of your Father in heaven. I read it to say that it's either one or the other. And maybe sometimes was it Ananias and Sapphira we had in our adult class anyway, not too many Sundays ago? Were they trying to have both? But they wanted that reward of men. But it's either one or the other. You have the praise of men, or you have the approval and reward that God gives you. And to have the praise of men, of people, as attractive as it can seem sometimes to us as beings here, such a fleeting thing, such a temporary thing it is. And so shallow at the end of the day, And I believe that God, the reward God has for those that give in this way is rather what we want. And I don't know what all that phrase means. He says, shall reward thee openly. I'm not sure what all is in that expression, but I believe that once again that God's reward is far above what we deserve and what we would expect and can comprehend, I believe. And in closing this morning, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to be a part of a brotherhood that endeavors to follow these teachings, that endeavors to give as Jesus taught. And I didn't share this message this morning because I feel like everyone here is slipping and there's a lack here. But rather, I have been encouraged and blessed to see your faithfulness in giving. God bless you. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Let's pray.